all of me, loves all of you, loves your curves and all your edges, all your perfect imperfections. This is the beginning of a John Legend song. And let's face it, I'm fat. I have more curves than I'd like. I'm also sometimes a bit blunt with edges that are a bit sharper than I'd like. I have a lot of imperfections. Can I love all of me? Could someone else really love all of me? Many of us struggle with self-criticism. Any of you out there? It's easy to say you have to love yourself before you can expect anyone else to love you. But how? Most of us let praise and compliments roll right past us, but we cling to the criticism and the mistakes. Psychologists say it takes 3 times as much good experience to offset a bad experience. You'd have to find $300 to feel okay after you lost $100. Or, as my retired Marine husband says, it takes a lot of attaboys to offset I've struggled with this a lot. My parents told me I was fat when I was at least 30 pounds lighter than I am today. If only you'd lose 15 pounds, you'd have a boyfriend, my father used to say. After I lost 15 pounds, he was still saying it. He hadn't even noticed the change. And my life continued with this baggage weighing me down, so to speak. So how can we apply our first principle about the inherent worth and dignity of all people to ourselves? Do we need others to tell us we have inherent worth and dignity? When I'm struggling with someone or something, and I take the time and make the effort to really figure out what's going on, usually the answer is fear. Almost always it's fear. Fear of not being loved. Fear of ending up alone. Fear of rejection. But if I truly accepted my own inherent worth and dignity, I wouldn't need validation from others. I wouldn't fear rejection. Anyone rejecting worthy and dignified me would have his or her own problem. It wouldn't be about me. Nice idea. But how can we help each other make it a reality? Love Your Selfie. This is the title of a public service announcement video put together by the Girl Scouts to encourage girls to deal with body image. The girls are learning they don't need Photoshop. They're more than just a picture. And I'm here to say it's not just a message for girls or for teens. It's a message for all of us. As we grow older, we may grow wider as well as wiser. We may lose some of our edge, our physical skills, our hair, and yet we never lose our desire to be loved and accepted. A few weeks ago, Katie Swanson talked from this pulpit about a book called Self-Compassion by Kristen Neff. It was also recommended to me by my therapist, and in it, the author offers a daily affirmation. Quote, "This is a moment of suffering. Suffering is part of life. May I be kind to myself in this moment. May I give myself the compassion I need." She goes on to elaborate. The first phrase, "This is a moment of suffering," is important because it brings mindfulness to the fact that you're in pain. If you're upset because you notice you've gained a few pounds, it's often hard to remember that these are moments of suffering worthy of compassion. The second phrase, "Suffering is part of life," reminds you that imperfection is part of the shared human condition. You don't need to fight against the fact that things aren't exactly the way you want them to be, because this is the normal, natural state of affairs. More than that, it's one that every other person on the planet experiences. None of us is perfect. The third phrase, "May I be kind to myself in this moment," helps bring a sense of caring concern to your present experience. Your heart starts to soften when you soothe and comfort yourself. And the final phrase, "May I give myself the compassion I need," firmly sets your intention to be self-compassionate and reminds you that you are worthy of receiving compassionate care. Neff quotes a patient as saying that she likes self-compassion because, unlike the practice of positive affirmation, in which she tried to convince herself that everything was fine and dandy even when it wasn't, with self-compassion, you don't have to fool yourself to make it work. So what we don't want is contingent self-worth, which is when our self-worth depends on success or failure, approval or disapproval. Neff says that by sacrificing ourselves to the insatiable god of self-esteem, we are trading the ever-unfolding wonder and mystery of our lives for a sterile Polaroid snapshot. Instead of reveling in the richness and complexity of our experience, the joy and the pain, the love and the anger, the passion, the triumphs and the tragedies, we try to capture and sum up our lived experience with extremely simplistic evaluations of self-worth. But these judgments, in a very real sense, are just thoughts. And more often than not, they're not accurate thoughts. Our first principle doesn't talk about the beauty or perfection or infallibility of all living things. It talks about inherent worth and dignity. Worth and dignity stem from something deeper than appearances, more significant than any single success or failure. Our happiness comes from being in the midst of a life fully lived, not from striving for an unattainable image from Madison Avenue. I was thinking about my mother and my first mother-in-law. They were both intelligent, creative, generous, loving, thoughtful women who had virtually no self-confidence. My mother-in-law was in her 80s and hosting her book group. She told me that she was having the furniture reupholstered and buying new drapes because she didn't want her book group to see how awful her house was. She didn't believe me when I told her her friends were coming to spend time together to talk about books, not to judge her or her furniture. She would regularly buy 5 outfits and bring them home and insist that everyone tell her which one they liked best, and then she would take the others back. She could not make a decision based on how she felt in the clothes or what she thought looked good on her. I remember having this conversation when I was in my 40s, and I told her, I thought there must be an age beyond which we don't need to keep worrying about whether our belly curves out a little bit or we're wearing the latest fashion. I think I finally arrived. Woohoo. Not her. She lived in fear that if she ever stopped worrying about such things, she'd lose all her friends and her social standing. How sad is that? I don't want to live a life that feels like a series of tests or pop quizzes evaluated by others I might not even know. What if I fail? How do I study? Is there a right answer? And who's grading this exam? I want to feel inherently worthy no matter if you see me 10 pounds heavier or lighter, no matter if my hair is neat or my clothing stylish. I want you to see me, who I am, not just how I look, or even whether I was friendly to you today. So does that mean we can let our appearance go to hell? Does it mean people have to love us even if we're mean to them? Does it mean I can give up the agony and expense of a personal trainer and drop my gym membership? Kind of. But no, not really. Yes, we want to be in a community that will love us no matter what. In fact, we need this community most when we're at our most unattractive. We do have inherent worth and dignity no matter what condition we're in. But we also have a responsibility to ourselves to be the best person we can be. It's funny how when you think about it, and if you read the research, it turns out that altruism is selfish. People are happier when they're connected to something greater than themselves, when they're part of a community, when they feel needed and like they matter. So, being involved, pledging generously, volunteering, contributing to the capital campaign, doing good deeds, practicing kindness and generosity, standing on the side of love, these are all ways of becoming our best selves for the right reasons. They make us feel better and live longer and be happier. It happens to also be a way to help the fellowship and the broader world to be a better place for everyone, and that's good too. Taking care of our bodies, exercising, eating well, getting regular medical checkups are also good practices for selfish reasons. When we take care of our physical body, we make space for deeper, more meaningful life. If we are healthy, we have more energy and more capacity to absorb bumps in the road of life and more capacity to be there for others. So the challenge, and it's a real challenge, is to find the balance. We can't live lives driven by what others want from us, explicit or implicit. We will not be happy and fulfilled if we just pursue material possessions and superficial images. And we don't want to substitute good works for good looks as our means of external validation. We don't want to substitute good works for good looks as our means of external validation. I cannot live a healthy, a happy life if I always feel I have to do one more thing for others. If only I volunteer for one more project or write one more check, then my life will have meaning. No, that doesn't work either. It's all about balance. So I invite you to work on becoming your best self. Others will notice and appreciate, but do it for yourself. Accept that your best self will have curves and edges. Accept your perfect imperfections with compassion and love your selfie. Thank you.